Your scientists were so preoccupied with whether or not they could, they didn't stop to think if they should.
The people need you.
Let's be honest with ourselves here.
My life is good. Really good.
So when they come to you, let them know.
This is the Brian Suits Show.
Hey, I'm 770KTTH, Brian Suits here. And be careful about who you meet up with to buy that incredibly cheap luxury handbag. He might have killed Tuba Man. That and more coming up. Also, hang off on any high-end purchases today until after the president signs the Inflation Reduction Act. Because when it's a law, inflation's just going to just fall off a billiard table just a few hours from now. Back in the second, AM 770 KTTH. Where were you when you saw the Sturgeon Moon? That and more. Let's get you to work with our right-way traffic. I love clearing my throat on live air.
Let the people hear.
Well, it's I call it radio verite. So a kerfuffle in Port Townsend. You know, one of these old people, this 80-year-old swimmer, a woman, regular there the Port Townsend pool, sees somebody, and she's in the women's changing room slash shower room. There's young girls in there, too. And there's someone there who doesn't seem to fit into a woman's suit the way normally you would. And the woman asks the person, well, I mean, the person strips the suit off in front of the girls, and lo and behold, there's the last turkey in the shop, as they say.
Stuff and junk.
So she asks the question, do you have a penis? And his answer is, it's none of your business. Though he said it with a lot more bass than I did. So what did they do in Port Townsend? Well, they had a city council meeting. And then they shut the pool down. Since he can't have fun, nobody can have fun. They chalked it up to staffing problems. But here's Como Channel 4 with a little more on that.
Our community pool has been shut down in Port Townsend because of staffing issues, yes, but also because of disturbing and harassing phone calls.
Do you believe that, Eric? Staffing issues?
This call started after an 80-year-old woman who swims at the pool objected to a transgender woman being in the ladies' locker room. Como's Denise Whitaker talked with that swimmer today and explains the latest on this controversy.
Yes, staff, but not that kind of staff.
The Port Townsend pool, now temporarily closed due to staffing shortages and backlash over an interaction between a transgender employee and an 80-year-old swimmer who stood outside the pool for 2 days holding this sign. Men who identify as women are using the women's shower dressing room.
I saw little girls with a man watching. There is no doubt in my mind that was inappropriate and not acceptable, and it needed to stop right then and there.
Julie Jammin tells me she demanded the transgender woman in the locker room leave immediately. The YMCA, which runs the pool for the city, immediately asked Jammin to leave. She's now also banned from the pool for violating the Y's code of conduct with disrespectful behavior.
So, and by the way, not to bury that, but you heard that it's a transgendered employee. Now here, a little sidebar on Port Townsend. The West Coast's bucolic former whaling community. And have you ever been there, Producer Greg?
Been a long time.
I'm from the peninsula. I like my ports to be Angeles, not Townsend. But Port Townsend's always been a hippie place. It always has been. That's where they invented Shed Boys. You know what I'm talking about. It's It is a weird island on the peninsula, but the idea that the 80-year-old woman who has been there swimming comes out and complains about somebody with male genitalia, regardless of how they identify, being in the women's locker room, and then she's banned from the pool, and they hide behind staffing issues. Remember now, this is part of the deal about the greatest swimmer of all time, Leah Thompson? Is that her name?
Thomas, I think.
Leah Thomas. Is that she's pre-op. So I'll play the game. I'll call her she. But you know, when the suit comes off and you're walking around and you're swinging Richard in front of female athletes, I got to tell you, they have a right to be offended. Now, you know, fast forward 60 years, you have an 80-year-old woman who, you know, I'm on her side on this. I'd say you commit, you get the operation, all that, then you're welcome. You look, when you look like a woman, you can be in the woman's bathroom. But if this is shocking to you, chances are you're not in Port Townsend. Or you are, and you can't believe what it's gotten to.
And now the pool is closed, partly due to disturbing calls to the Y.
I kind of understand this anger leaking out the way it is, and I am sorry that the Y staff is catching this.
The controversy even making it to city council.
This individual is not a man identifying as a woman. This individual is a woman. I think that we need to have respect and
And I mean, when it's open mic, you're not allowed to interrupt. But OK, this individual is not a man identifying as a woman. This individual is a woman. OK, but this individual is a woman with male organs, with the genitalia of a man that, you know, it's and I got to tell you. My daughter started swimming when she was 9. I don't want her seeing that. 10, 11, 12. Now, you know, on the other hand, there's not a heck of a lot left of the imagination when you're on a, you know, co-ed team and everyone's wearing Speedos. That being said, it's way, way different than seeing it out. And I wouldn't want it at 9. I didn't want it at 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Like I say, I'll honor your choice if you honor my sensibilities. That's really what it boils down to. Is if you're lecturing me about how offensive my language is towards you, then let me give you a lecture back. The flipping reality upside down and you walking around naked in front of my daughter with one of those is offensive to my sensibilities. Now, you go do what you got to do. And when you come back here, your body should look like a woman. I mean, I would think it'd be like your first priority besides changing your name. There was a famous kerfuffle about a year ago, year and a half ago at a spa where a woman of any angry woman with her daughter and a whole bunch of women with their daughters came out and complained to this politically correct staff. And it's actually a very funny interaction, but I don't want to get into it. But I mean, I got to say, you know, if the 80-year-old woman who saw this has got to be thinking. What is the world that we're in?
I was going to say, can you imagine living 80 years on this earth and then in an instant, what seems to be overnight, up is down, left is right, male is female.
The women's locker room is a sausage fest. You know, and your band
has to be a tad disorienting.
Your band. And, you know, like I say, this may be the most Port Townsend story in a long time. But I mean, there's a line, and here's the thing: you would call me an ally, okay? But an alliance has to go two ways. Like I say, I'll honor your new name and your new identity and the whole thing, but honor my sensibility. If you want to start a GoFundMe, you know, to cut it off or whatever you know then let's do that. Fine, but until you outwardly appear like a woman, don't get offended at me for saying, hey, dude, get out of this bathroom, get out of this locker room. And until, you know, even if hormone theory, treatment, therapy, whatever it is, it's part of the reason that it's so difficult for society to make the transition with you is because you're making it really hard for us with stuff like this. If you look like a man physically, what's stopping you from going to the men's locker room? Are you offended by seeing men's penises? That's the part I don't get is, why wouldn't you just be that gal? And if you physically resemble a male, go into the men's locker room. No one is going to be the wiser. No one is. You can even say your name is Betty Jean. Okay, I'm Betty Jean. And, you know, and here it is. Whatever, if anyone ever asks you. I don't get what's harmed with if you look like this, that's your locker room. if you don't look, like if I had a 10-year-old son, I wouldn't want him seeing naked ladies. You know, I'd probably never get him back in the car. I mean, it's the same thing. So that's what I don't get about reasonability. I'm being, you know, I'm being told, oh, you're being ignorant. This is the new way and the whole thing. Well, I don't get it. You're not showing me an ounce of respect. I'm trying to show you respect. You're not showing me an ounce of respect by going out of your way to be offensive. I guess maybe you have to be a man to understand how disgusting we are.
Ain't that the truth?
I mean, really? You know? And that's why, that's one reason I wouldn't want, you know, my daughter never had to confront that. I'm so glad.
I still take showers at home in a bathing suit.
Yeah, I turn the lights off.
I know how disgusting.
We're just gross. And so anyway, that's why I'm fascinated by women. What is it about us that you think is, anyway, that's why God invented red lights, so we could check for testicular cancer. Back in a second, that's what my doctor said. My doctor said that. It's a doctor joke. It's not my joke. Back in a second, AM 770 KTTH. Let's get you to work with our right-way traffic.
I want it all, and I want it now.
Know it all. First thing.
AM 770 KTTH. Trump Mar-a-Lago kerfuffle continues and all the cable networks. The president, by the way, denying what the Washington Post said last night, that some of the documents pulled out from Mar-a-Lago have to do with the nuclear secret, which is way above top secret and all that. But I also know that Washington Post can make anything up they want because they're not going to be accountable. So there's an asterisk there. But on the other hand, the president has the documents. He has the receipts for what they took and the specifics and particulars of the search warrant. So anyway, that's going to go back and forth all weekend long. Wild stab. And also meanwhile, the other bit of kabuki today is if you name something, this is why it's so short-sighted to name a bill, the Inflation Reduction Act, because is inflation going to be reduced right after he signs it into law that the inflation, I hereby in the name of the Inflation Reduction Act, lower the price of tri-tip is what I'll try that at Costco later today. And see how fast Tacoma police are called. But anyway, I'll play if the Inflation Reduction Act, the IRA, signed later today. And really, what it is the gigantic American tax dollar transfer, wealth transfer to turbine manufacturers and solar panel manufacturers, the majority of which right now are in China. So feel good about that. Thing two.
Second thing.
Turns out Hollywood is all about money. I should have warned people before I said that. But Hollywood's all about money. Actress Anne Heche is on life support. Why is she on life support? Because she's been declared brain dead and she's a organ donor. So they're going to be harvesting her organ when they finally terminate her. They'll be holding her on like a spare part machine because, you know, in this country, there's a waiting list for, you know, kidneys, heart, corneas, you name it. And they're going to strip her like a Green River Parkway Hyundai on this. But that's not going to stop Lifetime from releasing the last movie that they paid a bunch of money for that she made.
Oh, no.
Yeah. In September. This is a friend of mine did heart and kidneys. He got a kidney and a heart from the same donor. And then met the family, you know, very emotionally, very tight with the family.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually, I wouldn't want to know the name. I don't know. Maybe it's different.
Yeah,
they gave you life.
A lot of interesting dynamics there when it comes to organ donating. But this story with Anne Heche, very sad. I don't know if it was my morbid curiosity or what, but I watched the video of her being pulled from her burning car after this accident and being put on a stretcher. And it's very eerie. And unfortunately, it does appear that she had drugs in her system. I'm not sure.
There were two accidents. The first accident, she visibly has a bottle of vodka, not a commuter mug, not a White Claw. She has a bottle of vodka in the automobile. And then a few minutes later, she's doing 100 miles an hour, crashes into a house. The house starts burning. But if you are a stock, I forget what company owns Lifetime. I'm not going to say NBC Universal, but somebody like that owns Lifetime, and it makes money. They spend money on movies. So if you do own stock and whatever the parent company of Lifetime is, you're probably high-fiving at the shareholders conference when you find out that the upcoming movie Girl in 13, starring Anne Heche, still scheduled to premiere in September. The network said during the film panel yesterday. And so this isn't a week ago. This isn't before the information. This is yesterday when they said she's brain dead. They still said, well, you know, we think she'd want it this way or something. But the last movie that she made, they're going to, as of right now, they're going to release a movie in September. And this is, you know, this is a made-for-TV movie. They still cost money. You know, this is the thing. Lifetime, ironically, Lifetime is, or is it coincidental? The network called Lifetime is going to release a movie of someone who's, not even cold. They're literally not even dead yet. They just know they'll be dead. And Amy Winter, executive vice president and head of programming, addressed the issue at the top of the panel. She said, quote, as many of you know, Anne remains in critical condition, and all of us here at Lifetime are deeply concerned for her and everyone affected. We hope that her friends and family stay strong during this difficult time. That being said, no, she didn't. That's me. You know, anyway, since it's Hollywood, even the executives get to act. So, you know, she's acting like they didn't have a loud conversation in the town car on the way to this panel about whether or not they should delay and make it a thing, make it Anne Heche week, maybe a year from now or something. Or should we just pull the trigger in September? And apparently pull the trigger in September is the way to go. I'm unaware what channel Lifetime is on. And anyway, I don't even know what the movie's about. And it's not like Lifetime cares. They have an investment, and it's got to pay off. Third thing. Who remembers Tuba Man? If you walked to a Sonics game, they were a professional basketball team here, Mariners game, Seahawks game, then you saw a guy playing, and it wasn't a real giant tuba. It was like a baritone tuba, whatever it was.
It was fairly large. I remember Tuba Man very well, walking through Seattle Center towards Sonic Games is my earliest recollections of him and his dulcet tones.
Yeah, and you're probably asking yourself, well, that was 2008. It's 14 years later. Whatever happened to that teenager that killed Tuba Man in Seattle, in Belltown street violence? Whatever happened to that guy? Well, do you like luxury handbags?
Cuomo's Paul Rivera has details on the new charges and talked to a business owner who wants the crooks held accountable.
It was just last month when CEO Eric Houlihan talked to Cuomo after what he says was a robbery attempt at Bellevue Rare Coins, a locked front door getting in the way. However, a month before that, in June, this video just released by Bellevue police shows accused thieves ripping handbags from the Bellevue Louis Vuitton and running off. Police said not once, but on two different days.
You know the shtick.
One of those accused in the retail theft is Billy G. Chambers, convicted in the 2008 murder of Seattle street performer Tuba Man. Most recently, Chambers was arrested last month.
Stop misplacing your compassion. Put these people away. They're ruining people's lives.
Bellevue police.
That would be the owner of Bellevue Rare Coins.
Stop misplacing compassion should be the motto going forward for Seattle.
You know what? If Bellevue PD put that on the side of their car doors, yes, I would give them credit. To protect and serve, stop misplacing compassion. This is a kid. Okay, so granted, there's two sets of rules. You kill Tuba Man when you're a juvenile. You do a couple years. You're out. Your juvenile record is masked and all that. So when Mr. Chambers, whatever his name is, now he's 29, and I'm sure he's learned his lesson, but because now all he's doing is boosting high-end luxury handbags and things like this. So he's arrested last month on that. He's out because, of course, we don't hold people for theft of any value, I guess. But he's out, and he and a crew were hitting high-end stores all around the Seattle area. And then, because Bellevue PD got him kind of on a sting. And this is according to our friend Jonathan Cho, reporter Jonathan Cho, who was, I think, short-sightedly fired by Como TV. And Bellevue PD got these guys on the sting because what they do, because I know what you're saying, why does a 29-year-old, a possible gang member and member of a high-end theft ring, what does he need with a Louis Vuitton handbag? Then what do they do, sell it on the street corner for $50? No, they go on OfferUp.com. And they say Louis Vuitton handbags, straight cash, homie, the whole thing. Bellevue PD is on OfferUp. Seattle PD is on OfferUp. And they'll arrange to meet you, and they'll buy two or three bags. And the people that do that are going to turn around and sell them. They know it's stolen goods. But you can't get them for receipt of stolen goods. In this case, Bellevue PD at least got the guys who went in and ripped off the bags in the first place. But one of them's a convicted murderer, but he was 14 at the time. Well, anyway, good thing he's learned his lesson. Back in a second, some Ukraine news, some national news, and a longtime murder mystery. The case of the Headless Beauty off Port Orchard. Finally, three arrests. A true crime mystery right here, bobbing off the Puget Sound, or in the Puget Sound. Back in a second, AM 770 KTTH. Let's get you to work with our right-way traffic. AM 770 KTTH. Brian sits here with producer Greg. It's funny, the CDC drops even the recommendation for mandatory masking for schools that are returning, you know, now. You can almost audibly hear the disappointment in teachers' unions and stuff like that. And when the CDC is like, whatever, it's a cold now. It's a fifth cold, whatever. Where if you want to wear a mask, you can wear a mask. Which is like, when does the CDC, that's like saying, if you want to be left-handed, you can be left-handed. Yeah, there was nothing stopping you from wearing a mask 2.5 years ago, except that everyone would look at you and say, you know, what is this, the Tokyo subway? So,
and if our listeners haven't already heard it, I don't mean to cut you off here, but did you see Fauci being interviewed in Seattle after he threw out the first pitch at the Mariners game? He talked about the so-called Fauci effect. I found this somewhat off-putting.
It's called the Fauci effect. Which is sort of like, you know, as
his goal.
Trust me, I don't get excited about that. I mean, it's nice, but I mean, it's. People go to medical school now. People are interested in science, not because of me, because most people don't know me, who I am. My friends know me, my wife knows me, but people don't know me. It's what I symbolize, and what I symbolize in an era of the normalization of untruths and lies and all the things you're seeing going on in society from January 6th to everything else that goes on, people are craving for consistency, for integrity, for truth, and for people caring about people.
Stay in your lane. I wish that was the Fauci effect.
Pro tip for public persons:
stay in your lane.
Never talk about what you symbolize.
Yeah,
I mean, the amount of hubris that kind of oozes from you when you'd say, I symbolize integrity, honor, everything that's good in the world. Very obnoxious.
And I mean, blindly listening to everything he said as a way to own Trump. You know, I we're 2.5 years into that. I get that. The minute he became that, if he had an ounce of integrity, he would have said, it's no longer about public health. It's about me. I am therefore resigning. And this complete anonymous blank slate, my assistant is not going to take over. And he, they, them are complete objective epidemiological experts on infection, whatever. That's what you would have done. And except he didn't. And any idea that he was some selfless, non-egotistical, science-driven government official is almost redundant, or I mean contradictory. I'm sorry that the president had some really stupid gaffes about like putting topical antiseptic in your bloodstream. And I don't know why he said that stuff, you know, and so you had Dr. Birx and then you had Fauci putting his head in his hands. If they didn't have the integrity or the interest in public health enough to go to the chief of staff and say, listen, we got to have a meeting. We got to have a meeting about who runs that press conference and where who puts out the scientific stuff. If he wants to speculate, you know, about Lysol in your bloodstream, don't do it there. He can do it in a private meeting, you know, with us, because public health is supposed to be the number one, the coin of the realm in an epidemic is trust. And I mean, this is what the thing that I never understood 2.5 years ago is why the head of Health and Human Services or Fauci himself didn't say, hey, listen, this may be unprecedented, but I need 15 minutes of live network time to tell people what's coming, because we know what's coming. It happened in 1918, 1919, before we had TV or a national means of mass communication. Now let's take advantage of that, because we can get ahead of this and we can begin with public confidence and all that. He didn't do that. It's his job to be a master of infectious diseases. And I knew better than he did in February of 2020. It's crazy. And you simply had to look at what happened in Seattle in October and November of 1918. And as any public official would have said, wow, look at that. The entire city's population lost confidence in government and public health. The mayor got a bomb in his mailbox. Fauci didn't get a bomb in his mailbox. But anyway, so history will lionize the guy. They'll name a Navy ship after him during the Kardashian administration. I'm here in real time. I'm going to remember that this guy had so much ego, he ran around telling people he didn't have an ego. But then he had to explain the Fauci effect, and he still couldn't even get the ball over the plate when he threw that first pitch. At least he didn't throw it to first base. We'll be back right after this. AM 770, a almost 2-decade-long murder mystery. The case of the headless beauty. Right after this, 3 men arrested. Back in a second, AM 770, KTTH. Let's get you to work with our right-way traffic. KTTH, Brian Suits here. Boy, that was some press conference, wasn't it, Greg?
Talking about Garland?
No. No, remember when Governor Jay Inslee, by the way, we're still emergency declaration, emergency, everyone to get from street, emergency, still an emergency. But that's why it was such a stunning press conference that they didn't even hold a press conference. Remember when the governor dropped the COVID booster mandate for all state workers? That seems kind of newsworthy, doesn't it? Except that they didn't release that. They didn't do a press conference for that. Sure, your kid has to double, your statistically immune kid has to double mask just to walk by the pool that's closed. But when the requirement was lifted on August 5th, who will ever forget where they were? I've already forgotten. Anyway, more on that. As Q13 said, questions are now being raised about Governor Jay Inslee's reasoning for lifting the COVID booster requirement for state employees, because it is in direct contradiction for why he fired everybody a year ago. But anywho, I take you back. Let's take you back to 2005. 3 of 4 murder suspects have been arrested in relation to a woman's 2005 death. You may recall this. You may not, but let me remind you, in 2005, the headless, decomposing body of 33-year-old Shannon Lynn Reed of Seattle was found floating in the Puget Sound. It was January 2006 when it was found. Her head was found in the Puget Sound 2 months later. Detectives were able to identify four suspects, but it wasn't until the last 10 months when they were able to confirm the four suspects. By the way, 14 years later, no, I'm sorry, I'm 17 years later, they were able to confirm the four suspects took part in her murder. Three are now in custody in various parts of the country. A fourth is dead. The investigation revealed that Ms. Reed was killed in her Seattle apartment in August of 2005. And I still don't understand the motive or what this was about. Put in a plastic container, like a tote, taken to a Port Orchard cabin, which one of the suspects owned. She was left in the cabin for weeks while two suspects would return to pour chemicals on her body to speed up the decomposition, according to the Kitsap County Sheriff's Department. I was making a monthly pilgrimage to Port Orchard at that time. And as part of your 303rd Cavalry, there are the Port Orchard Armory. And I was taking that Fauntleroy to Southworth Ferry. And apparently the cabin was very, very close by. Well, anyway, it took the U.S. Coast Guard, who I've never watched an episode of NCIS, Naval Criminal Investigative Service. And now there's like eight different iterations of it from whatever. Well, who's ever heard of the U.S. Coast Guard Investigative Service? They seem to do a lot more sexy stuff. The special agent with the USCGIS presented the case to the Kitsap County Prosecutor's Office to arrest the other four suspects allegedly involved. Three did not live in state any longer, and the fourth was actually not living in any state except the dead state because he was dead. The arrest started Monday with Brian Burkhard, 39-year-old gent in Philadelphia. 42-year-old Brandon Reeve was the next. He was in Sarasota, Florida, when they said, "Let's go, Brandon, hands behind your back." And the last one, 34-year-old Oscar Cash Gonzalez, was arrested in lovely Riverside, California, on a murder charge. The fourth suspect, Anthony Maru Martinez, has died since the murder. The other three suspects are in jail in their respective states. They'll be extradited. Not just dited. They will be extradited to Kitsap County. Each has a $10 million bail. They'll be brought back to Washington State and booked into the Kitsap County Jail.
And in this story that you have there, Brian, does it say what detail or piece of evidence ultimately led authorities to crack the case here?
That's what I'm fascinated by. I mean, I don't know. I wish I could do a Dateline Keith Morrison voice or whatever. We don't know. We don't know what mystical, magical wizardry was. I'm not even going to.
Well, and what's so incredible
this? I remember this. This was found. I'm like, because someone said, "Oh, it's a serial killer," and I was like, "No, a serial killer gets rid of a body. This was floating in a tote."
Yeah, unbelievably brutal details in this case about her killing. And also, you know, I used to be a fan of the show The First 48, which was a crime forensic show about detectives looking for
a quality show.
Yeah, looking for suspects in murders within the first 48 hours of the evil deed being committed. And the reason that first 2 days is so crucial is once that time frame passes, it becomes exponentially harder to locate killers.
And part of the reason for that is not just because, the trail's getting cold. It's because other people got killed. Now you're resetting the clock with another 48 with yesterday's murder.
Well, and so to hear that these suspects have been taken into custody some 16 or 17 years later makes it all that more unbelievable.
And it's they knew enough, I guess, that the body was kept at that cabin. They knew who owned the cabin or rented the cabin or whatever. And they thought they did a good enough job of scrubbing physical evidence or something, but I'm going to go out on a limb and use my forensic expertise to say it was probably something. So we'll find out. It's funny because I'm going to ask a forensic pathologist. I know that's a regular feature on the show, but I happen to know a guy and he's retired. In fact, He joined us on Facebook Live this morning at 5 a.m. At the KTTH Facebook site. We were talking about sending the kids back to school with the correct first aid kit that I've advocated for and all that. and I'll ask him. But yes, 17 years later, after the headless body was found, and then because that's what stood out about that story was, okay, that happened, and then 2 months later, and I want to say it was like in Stillicum or somewhere, where at low tide or at Nisqually, where someone separately found a human head, and they were able to figuratively put the two together and realize it was the body that was found there. So anyway, I don't do the true crime stuff, but this one really has Keith Morrison or Josh Mankiewicz all over it. That's all I can tell you. Back in a second, and they always do it. Here's the thing: when they do those stories that long, they always like getting someone on TV, getting someone who was like in local news at the time. I'll be that guy.
You're going to volunteer?
Yeah, I'll be that guy. Well, I remember when that story came in, it really stood out.
Struck me to my core.
And then Keith Morrison will be leaning back saying, really, what stood out about it or whatever? And so anyway, it's like, you know, they have like their own channel now. There's a Dateline channel. It's like nonstop.
I did not know that.
Nonstop Keith Morrison or Josh Mankiewicz going, where would we really say that? Because he talks out of the side of his mouth. But anyway, great news, everyone. The booster requirement to remain employed by the state of Washington is lifted. No real reasoning. More on that next hour. It would seem to contradict the continued emergency declaration, but that's probably wild stab here. And I don't want to sound cynical. That might be why they did not release it to the press or do a press conference. I thought getting out of a pandemic might be celebrated as possible good news, but that would require a lifting emergency declaration, I guess. Back in a second, AM 770 KTGH, Brian Suits here back for the 8 o'clock hour. Our final hour wrapping up the week strong, real strong, super strong, lifting strong, strong like bull right after this.